Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's first reading from the book of Leviticus has the Lord giving the law to Moses here, the commandments, Ten Commandments, and other precepts, and one of which is mentioned in the reading is this: Nor shall you stand by idly when your neighbor's life is at stake. All right, now when we think about this precept in today's context, in today's world, what comes to mind? Nor shall you stand by idly when your neighbor's life is at stake. I would hope that it comes to everyone's mind, our neighbor's life who is at stake, namely the unborn. Okay, we should not stand by idly when our neighbor's life is at stake. And our neighbor's life, the unborn, is at stake every single day here in the U.S. There are at least 2,700 abortions every day here in the U.S. Now, how many of us are standing by idly and not doing anything, have no involvement whatsoever in the pro-life movement? Certainly, there's something that every Christian could be doing for the pro-life movement. It serves us well to read from the authoritative teaching of the Church in the Catechism with regard to abortion. Paragraph 2270. Human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which is the inviolable right of every innocent being to life. As the scripture says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." And again, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth." Since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say, abortion willed either as an end or as a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. See, there we have the word grave, means it's grave matter. So if it is done knowingly and willingly, we have the three elements necessary for mortal sin. Grave matter. "You shall not kill the embryo by abortion, and shall not cause the newborn to perish. God, the Lord of life, has entrusted to men the noble mission of safeguarding life, and men must carry it out in a manner worthy of themselves. It is our mission to safeguard life. Life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide are abominable crimes." Right? That which is legal in our country is actually an abominable crime. "Formal cooperation in an abortion constitutes a grave offense." Right there we have that word grave again. "The Church attaches the canonical penalty of excommunication to this crime against human life." That is the maximum penalty of the Church. "A person who procures a completed abortion incurs excommunication late sententiae." That means automatically. "By the very commission of the offense, and subject to the conditions provided by canon law." All right, now there are those who will accuse the Church of being unmerciful because of that excommunication. And that is not the case. The church does not thereby intend to restrict the scope of mercy. Rather, she makes clear the gravity of the crime committed, the irreparable harm done to the innocent who is put to death, as well as to the parents and the whole of society. The inalienable right to life of every innocent human individual is a constitutive element of a civil society and its legislation. So we could say, really, we live in an uncivil society. The inalienable rights of the person must be recognized and respected by civil society and the political authority. These human rights depend neither on single individuals nor on parents, nor do they represent a concession made by society and the state. Okay, this right to life does not come from society or the state. They belong to human nature and are inherent in the person by virtue of the creative act from which the person took his origin. Inherent to human nature, natural law. That law which is written into our very nature. Among such fundamental rights, one should mention in this regard every human being's right to life and physical integrity from the moment of conception until death. The moment a positive law deprives a category of human beings from the protection which civil legislation ought to accord them, the state is denying the equality of all before the law. So the unborn are unequal citizens here in America. Unequality exists today. There is a bias, a prejudice against the unborn in America. When the state does not place its power at the service and of the rights of each citizen, and in particular of the more vulnerable, the very foundations of a state based on law are undermined. As a consequence of the respect and protection which must be ensured for the unborn child from the moment of conception, the law must provide appropriate penal sanctions for every deliberate violation of the child's rights. So you see there, we have in our country legal abortion. When in fact, if this were a civil society, there would be laws in place to punish abortion. That would be a just society. Since it must be treated from conception as a person, the embryo must be defended in its integrity, cared for and healed, as far as possible, like any other human being. Prenatal diagnosis is morally licit if it respects the life and integrity of the embryo and the human fetus, and is directed toward its safeguarding or healing as an individual. However, it is gravely opposed to the moral law when this is done with the thought of possibly inducing an abortion, depending upon the results. A diagnosis must not be the equivalent of a death sentence. One must hold as licit procedures carried out on the human embryo which respect the life and integrity of the embryo and do not involve disproportionate risks for it, but are directed toward its healing, the improvement of its condition of health, or its individual survival. It is immoral to produce human embryos intended for exploitation as disposable biological material. Certain attempts to influence chromosomic or genetic inheritance are not therapeutic, but are aimed at producing human beings selected according to sex or other predetermined qualities. Such manipulations are contrary to the personal dignity of the human being and his integrity and identity, which are unique and unrepeatable. End quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Pope Francis also spoke of this in his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel. Among the vulnerable for whom the Church wishes to care with particular love and concern are unborn children, the most defenseless and innocent among us. So we see, the most defenseless and innocent. Our compassion, our care, our desire to protect and defend should go first and foremost to those who are most defenseless and innocent among us, namely, the unborn. Pope Francis continues, "Nowadays, efforts are made to deny them their human dignity and to do with them whatever one pleases, taking their lives and passing laws preventing anyone from standing in the way of this. Precisely because this involves the internal consistency of our message about the value of the human person, the Church cannot be expected to change her position on this question. It is not, quote, progressive to try to resolve problems by eliminating a human life," end quote, Pope Francis. So now we return to our Lord's message in today's gospel. All right, we already mentioned from the first reading, "Nor shall you stand by idly when your neighbor's life is at stake," meaning every Christian should be involved in some way, shape, or form in the pro-life movement. All right, now our Lord in the gospel says this, and they will respond, "And when did we not minister to your needs?" And he will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Fructum ventris tuum.